was a time when we were told who we are, what to believe, what to fear. But something never felt right. They built the stories, they built the throne, told you the truth was not your own. Voices above demanding praise, while we were lost inside the maze. But deep inside, a spark remains, a quiet fire they couldn't chain. A voice that whispers, soft but clear, you were never meant to live in fear. The ground is shaking. The veil is breaking. This is the awakening. Feel it in your soul. The truth is rising now. You were always whole. No more illusion. No more control. The light has won. They dimmed the body, they split the mind, buried the truth we're here to find. But we are many, we are one. A thousand sparks become the sun. The war is over, can't you see? The chains are gone, we're finally free. From ashes rising, we reclaim the truth they tried to hide in shame. Remember who you you've known it all along. This is the awakening. Feel it in your soul. The truth is rising now. You were always whole. No more illusion. No more control. Children are free. The darkness has fallen. Now what do we choose to be? From the heart, we create. From the light, we everything has changed.
She'll be coming round the mountain when she comes. She'll be coming round the mountain when she comes. She'll be coming round the mountain. She'll be coming round the mountain. She'll be coming round the mountain when she comes. She'll be riding six white horses when she comes. She'll be riding six white horses when she comes. She'll be riding six white horses. She'll be riding six white horses. She'll be riding six white horses when she comes. We'll all go out to greet her when she comes. We'll all go out to greet her when she comes. We'll all go out to greet her. We'll all go out to greet her. We'll all go out to greet her when she comes. Greetings.
Yay. I didn't know all of, I didn't know the lyrics to that song. I only know the first verse, so
there's ones, if you look them up, that I don't know. I'm just doing the ones I know and love. greetings everybody. This is a greeting salutations. This is a St. Thomas show. I am St. Thomas the Twin. You can call me Arrow. And my co-host, Rob Anderson, how are you today?
I'm doing very, very wonderful. I actually had a question for you.
Sure.
Is St. Thomas in reference to Doubting Thomas?
Yes, absolutely. Oh. It
so
is.
Can you explain that to us?
Yeah, absolutely. And welcome to the playground. I'm glad you came to play today.
I'm glad to be here. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Yeah. So Doubting Thomas is, Thomas was translated in a Saramaic word was Teome, T-E-O-M-A, and it means the twin. And so, and then when they translated it, you know, that King James guy, he wasn't a very good guy, and he paid some people to do the translations just to probably control masses, to keep us in the dark and confuse us. So yeah. They were hiding the fact that Yeshua had a twin. And so they didn't want anyone to know. So they translated the word Teome into Thomas and made it a Saint Thomas. And then all the stories that I know of that are directly about Thomas, like, for instance, the Doubting Thomas story, those are hijacked stories. Those are to confuse us. And so they made it, there's a line that, a quote from Yeshua. Of course, they called my brother Jesus and created the whole religion around him. They called him Doubting Thomas. And there's a line from Jesus where Jesus says, Thomas, you know, some of those believe without, Thomas demanded, okay, let's see, we'll go back a little bit. So Thomas wasn't with all their friends when Jesus came back to life. And then all the friends came home and told Thomas, the twin, Jesus rose from the dead. He and Thomas, like, seen him get beaten and tortured and die. And then Thomas wasn't there to witness him rise. And Thomas is like, you know, I love you guys, but it's really hard to believe what you're telling me. And so he was doubting the resurrection. And he's like, I want to see it for myself. And I want to touch Jesus before I can believe it. And so when he goes to see Jesus and he touches him and he sees Jesus is really alive, then Jesus supposedly, this is fake, this is deception, but Jesus said, well, you know, Thomas, some people just believe without having to see it and without having to touch it. You just have to have faith. Blessed are those that believe without seeing. Well, that was just because the controllers wanted you to believe whatever they said.
Mm-hmm. And how do we know it wasn't a clone of Jesus? Like, even seeing isn't believing, because we don't know if what we're seeing is real or if it's, you know.
Boy, today I totally agree. Like, yeah, there's some good looking stuff out there that I'm not sure I'd believe for sure. It's like, yeah, question everything. That's my go. You know what it is? We want to follow our heart, right? If you get into your heart and stay out of the mind, the mind will always keep me confused. But if I'm in my heart, there's this cue, used to call it a rudder indicator. Mm-hmm. But if I'm in my heart resonating, it's really easy to discern. It's mm-hmm. really easy to look at something from my heart and go, is this of my heart?
Yeah.
So
Well, and
that's.
that's the thing too. I don't know if it was an Osho thing I was reading or wherever it was, but it was something interesting, and it was about Buddha saying to his followers, if you see me, like after he died or whatever, if you see me again on the path, cut my head off, because no master incarnates in the same body again, because it's like, well, if there's infinite worlds and creation, like why would you want to come back and be, you know, like I don't want to be Rob, I've done it once, it's time to move on, you know, otherwise we keep reincarnating the same thing over and over again. So I think Buddha was that was his way of saying, like, you know, follow, go within, and like don't follow me, because, and if you see me again, it's not me, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
He
And
probably
you
knew about
know,
cloning, right? But he didn't know how to explain it to people, or the consciousness of
yeah.
people at that time, saying, you know, like he probably understood what was happening, but they might not have, his followers might not have, who knows?
And so all great masters have mastered the understanding, which is kind of where we're at. We are awakening to our own masterhood. That's why we're bringing a celebration to the table today. Let's start it off.
Birdie, are you there?
Hey, yeah. Okay, hold on, Rob. We're
Okay.
bringing in a guest today to
Oh.
celebrate. But oh, hey, we missed all the thank yous and everything. We got to thank Don and Doug at BBS Radio,
Thank
100%
you guys.
support. Yes, we want to thank Sheila because our production manager's in today, and I've got some quoting to do from her about what we are and the celebration we're having. And then thank you to the listeners, subscribers, one-time donationers. Your support is golden. Now, we're going to bring in special guests because Bertie's going to show up and party with us.
I
Okay.
am.
Hi, Bertie.
Hey. I
What
did
kind
not
of
know
bird
you were
song?
gonna.
What kind
What's
of
that?
song does your this birdie make?
What kind of song?
Yeah, bird
Oh,
song. You
bird
have to
song.
sing us a song. Birds sing.
Oh, I don't
Oh,
do that on the radio. Nope. I'm not.
Rob has not sung yet, so don't let him put you in that
I
position.
know that until you gotta sing, Rob, and then I'll think about it. Lead the way for me.
I don't know what I should sing though. Maybe
Okay, show me the way.
I'll have
All right.
to.
All right, guys, ready? 1, 2, 3. Join in. She'll be coming
Coming
round
round
the
the
mountain
mountain
when
when
she
she comes.
comes.
She'll be
She'll be
coming round the
coming round the
mountain when
mountain
she
when she
comes.
comes. She'll be
She'll be
coming
coming
round the
round the
mountain.
mountain.
She'll be
She'll be
coming
coming
round
round
the
the
mountain.
mountain.
She'll
She'll
be
be
coming
coming
round the
round the
mountain
mountain
when
when
she
she comes.
comes.
I don't even know if I know the right key for that song.
Oh gosh, Rob, I've believe, haven't I shown it doesn't matter what I sound like? I thought I've proven that
I have,
already.
like, my dad was a baritone bugle player, and he had a really good ear for music, so he always, like, I have that, you know, like, ear for it, I guess. Some people have it and some people don't, and then that's not here or there, but he was just really, like, he had such a keen ear for hitting his notes and everything, and so he was, like, you know, I guess I got that from him. And that's why I was always embarrassed to sing. And then I realized, you know, a few years ago, it's like we all, I think it's like a throat chakra blockage where we're scared of our own voice. I don't know if I ever mentioned, but, you know, when I was younger, like, you know, we always think that our voice sounds so weird to ourselves, right? Like, I remember the first time hearing my voice as a kid when I recorded a voicemail on my home phone, or whatever it was, and you just sound so foreign to yourself. And you hear yourself for the first time, and you're like, oh my God, I sound like that? Like, but it's important to grow our voice, right? No matter
I
what we
don't
think it
know
sounds
if
like.
it's, yeah, I don't know if it's a throat chakra as much as old programming in our brain. See, it's so important that we sing. I think when we're growing up, we get programmed to believe we can't sing because we are activating people with our harmonics. And
Yeah.
that's the truth of us singing. And we sing in for all kinds of reasons. That is really important. And that's why I'm showing up. I've botched so many songs. I'm not making the top 40 charts, but that's not the purpose of me singing. The purpose is, we've talked about this before, the vibrating of the body, the harmonics, the cheer that my body gets by doing it. And it's so significant that we sing, and it's important. And I'd like everybody to, you know, get out of their chair and jump up and down and sing with me, because it doesn't matter what it sounds like. It's about what it feels like in our bodies.
Totally. And you know what? You're going to get better too. And it, like, back to what you said about programming, it totally is. Like, my mom, like, her family was like, children were to be seen, not to be heard. You know, people were programmed in school. You got to put your hand up to speak. And then, you know, sometimes people laugh, and like, there's so much programming about speaking up, and like, in a herd mentality, in a collective consciousness, you know, it's like, if you're not saying what people want you to say, then it's easy to get, you know, cast aside or made fun of or ostracized and all that thing. So people have so much, and that's why I love BBS so much, because we can come here and say what we want. And that's important. And it's important to have a voice. And I think so many people are scared to have a voice. I know, because I talk to people a lot of times, and a lot of people, they, you know, privately, one-on-one, I can talk to somebody for 5 minutes and they'll be like, oh, I can tell you anything. And they can just sense that, right? But we often, they'll change, you know, in a group setting or something, or be scared to admit what they said, or, you know, and we fear being different, or fear telling our truth because it doesn't fit in with the general overarching narrative of the collective society, or the city we live in, or the family, or the political party, or the work, the corporate environment, right? So our voice is always, always being suppressed. And so, like you said, there's so many factors: programming, societal, religious, all those things. And, you know, it's like, you'll, you know, speak when spoken to, you know, it's never speak up.
Rob, you're giving me warm fuzzies. What a great lead in. This is one of the purposes for bringing Birdie on today. So I do this St. Thomas show every other Sunday, but my twin sister's show is the Project Review with Q&A. That is a call-in show, and people are scared to call in. I have people that contact me through the email, and I have great conversations through the email, but we're leaving that project show open for the lines. And is what I want to bring to the table today is why, when we actually talk to each other live, what that does for us, the horsepower that it gives us. And I have a great example with Birdie, because I just, you know, we talk often, and I'm talking to her and she's playing these games with her friends, showing them how we are creators. We're creating at all times, but she's showing them simple, easy ways to do some creating and how it happens instantly. And I'm wondering, if you'll set me up, Birdie, I have an example of what happened after I talked to you, but you were explaining to me one day about showing somebody the color. I think you guys picked the color lime, and then you seen lime everywhere. And then supercalifragilistic was a great example of instant creating. Is that something you want to share with us?
Sure. And I will say, I appreciate that both of you sang. I do sing very loudly in my car and in my pool. But other than that, I wasn't quite ready to go on the radio and belt anything out. But I sing every day, all day long. And in my art studio, I sing really loud. So it does feel good. I just, I'm not really ready to do that on the radio, because I blast the music. So I sing really, I only know how to sing really loud. So anyway, but yeah, I was just trying to show in simple ways, because a lot of people try and want their whole life changed in the snap of a finger, and they can, because we have the power to do that. But there's so much emotional energy going into it, and doubt and subconscious and mind energy, that's we're blocking ourselves. So I do it with my daughter even. I try, she's like, you know, rolls her eyes like, okay, mom, here we go. But I'm like, all right, but I'll say to her, okay, I feel like seeing a purple car right now. And I'll just be like, I want to see a purple car right now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I snap my fingers. Right around the corner, turning on, is like this bright purple Jeep. And she just looks at me. She's like, there are purple cars. I go, okay, fine. I want to see a pink car. And we'll go, you know, maybe a couple blocks, and there'll be this bright pink car. And she just kind of is like puzzled. So I'm trying to do it in small ways where it's nothing significant, But it shows how easily we could create. And then if you just do it with something like a word or anything really, and then some people are so doubtful. They'll say, well, pink and purple cars aren't really that rare. Okay, fine. I want to see a bright pink commercial truck, like pink, because you could see purple dump trucks. They're a little more common. I want to see pink. Well, there's like, so I'm pumping gas and there's like a pink, it's like a, it's a tractor trailer and the whole chassis was painted pink. And I'm thinking, see, that's how easy it is, So it's just all, I just feel like, you have to prove it. But so I started doing things with friends because they're all like, well, how do you do this? Are you psychic? And I'm like, okay, well, you pick something. So they ended up picking, oh, we were doing words and I picked abracadabra because it's not something you hear in your everyday life, but everybody knows what it is. I picked it, and then the Steve Win, the was it Steve Miller Band? I think, Rob, that sings Abracadabra.
I can't remember.
I think it's Steve Miller Band. Well, that song shows up, and I certainly like that's how easy it is. So the words were showing up, the cars, the vehicles, like, and then the other person had picked lime green. And next thing you know, we're both seeing lime green everything. Cars showing up lime green. Like I saw it within 5 minutes. So it's just kind of showing people, look at, like when you get it's your excitement about it. It's just a game. So there's no big high stakes if you see a lime green car or a pink car or whatever. So it makes your excitement come through and you're not really blocking it. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
Absolutely.
totally.
And I want to just put in it the whole horsepower. So you can listen to my shows on the archive and you can contact me in emails. I'm having a great time answering and corresponding with people through emails. But if you do get the nerve up, that's what we're talking about here. Just, go to your heart, get out of your head, pick up the phone and call us on the project show every other Sunday. It's going to start next Sunday, the project show Sunday at noon Central. It gives it, it there's something to tune in live and to talk to us live. You're going to get more horsepower. You're going to see more instantaneous, because I get off the phone talking with Birdie and she's having a great day with all of these instant creating. She goes, "We're creating instantly. It just happens instantly, instantly." And I get off the phone and I go to work. And right away, when I get to work, I hadn't been there for 2 days. And right away, I just get frustrated. Nothing is in what I call the same place. It's like I think that at work, there's places where everything goes. And when I'm in a rush at a restaurant, I want to go grab a plate. I want to know where it is when I grab it. And nothing is where I think it should be. Well, it turns out I figured out that it's there because I put it there. So I had to rearrange everything and put everything where I wanted to be. And I was just getting frustrated and I realized it. So I decided to go way back in a corner, climb a ladder, get some to-go stuff down, and get back into my peace. And I was singing and doing my little getting back in peace. And somebody comes back and catches me and says, "What you doing, Shelly?" I said, "I'm finding my own peace." I said, "I only have a month to go until the bikers show up, because in a month we've got the Sturgis Biker Rally here, and I always have fun. I have a blast when all the bikers come." And I said, I only have to make it another month. I think I can do this." And they cheered me on. They said, "You can do this, Shelley." I said, "I know, just a month until the bikers come." And I walked out into the restaurant and there was 10 big burly bikers all sitting down at the party table. And I was like, "Oh, Birdie and her instant creating." But that's what happens when we talk to each other. So I just want to encourage people to call in and talk to us live and see what happens. And then you can come back on the show and tell us what happens after you do that.
Yeah. And I think it's important, like, so when I had the same fear, and to let everybody know that I think it's natural. Like, I remember the first time I called into BBS show way back, it might have been a Q show or something else. But I was sitting there sweating, like, what am I gonna say? What, like, and you don't even know. And I think the first time I actually called in, We didn't get to my call, so it's like I was sweating for no reason. We anticipate these events happening, and like even the other day, I was walking down the street, and I was like, somebody is coming towards me, and it's, well, it's more of a path, not a street. And then I'm like, oh, I don't feel like talking to this person. And I was like, I'm gonna say hi. And like the mind starts going and going. And then they turn off like 20 feet before I even get there. And I was like, see, all that mental mind energy for nothing. It's like the Matrix just messing with you. Like, we're gonna give you all this stuff to anticipate and then throw you for a loop. But to call
Or
it, yeah, sorry, go
did you
ahead.
create? I was wondering, did you create it like you were saying, I don't want to talk to him, I don't want to talk to him, and maybe you created that they just jarted to the other side and turned.
Yeah, who knows, right? And so it's like, but sometimes I just like,
Ah.
I don't like to, pre, that's why I don't like to know, like, and sometimes I'm just like, whatever happens, happens, but sometimes you just want to be with your own energy. Like, if you're around people a lot, some days it's like, some days I love talking, other days I just want pure silence. I don't even want to see another soul. I just want to be with my own spirit. But back to about people calling in, please, please do it. It's not only beneficial for everybody else that you're sharing with, but for it's really self-empowering. And I know that I've mentioned before on other shows that it's difficult, especially for people. Sometimes people with the most to say grew up in small towns, and part of my family grew up in a very, very small town. Like, we're talking at the peak of it, 2,000 people, and so it was tough. Like, a lot of times, there was so much about rumors and or what will other people think, and if you have businesses in that town, like, image is so important. And so it's like people were scared to speak up or ask tough questions or be, because they wanted to be, they don't want to be ostracized or cast out from the herd or whatever it is. So I think a lot of people have a deep-seated fear of speaking up, especially when they have a truth that says, hey, something feels off about this, but who do I say it to? Who do I ask? Who do I tell? Not from being like a tattletale perspective, but for saying like something's fishy about what's going on here, and I want to say something, and I want to share what I've noticed or what I've observed or what I've experienced.
Yeah, I know when I first called into the Q shows, you call in and BBS takes the call, but then you were on hold and my body was shaking so hard that I couldn't hold the phone up to my ear to listen because you're listening to the radio while you're on hold and my hand was shaking so violently. I had to put the phone on speaker and set it on the cabinet in front of me just because I was shaking so hard. And but you practice. I practiced and the biggest part for me was getting out of my head and going to my heart and doing the work. It's just doing the work and practicing the commands until I can just breathe into my heart and get out of my head. And that's really how I do the show. It's amazing to me still today that I'm even here, but it's because of the work. I had a lot of head energy when I was calling in and shaking like that.
Yeah, that's all it is. And because, like, I grew up, like I said, I always had this like deep-seated fear of like saying something, or my next job or my next client, if I'm not, saying the right things, then it's like, you'll never work in this town again, or like your fear of losing a client and people pleasing. So, but now it's like, and I always had that desire to speak my mind, and I was always like that with my friends. But sometimes, it's tough to be like that with your parents or your family, and then you get to a certain age where it's like, well, you have to be your own person, right? And true to yourself,
Yeah.
regardless of the cost.
So, do you know why skeletons don't ever fight each other?
The closet's not big enough. I
They
don't
don't have the guts. They don't have the
Oh, yeah,
guts.
that's good. I was trying to loop something in there with skeletons in the closet. I don't know.
I'm sorry. I was planning a party, so I wanted some laughter. So, why did the scarecrow win an award?
I don't
Because he was outstanding in his field.
know. That's a good one. Oh, I have one that you might like. I don't know if you've ever heard it or if I've ever said it, but I laughed, and I said it. I laughed so hard the first time I heard it because it's not very common. And I said it the other day and at work. One guy just loved it. He was laughing so hard. But when you're leaving somewhere next time, be like, "Well, it's time for me to make like a Winnebago and motor home."
I like it, but I'm a motor homer.
Yeah. So you get it. Yeah. Some people might not get it. The newer
Yeah.
generation might not get what a Winnebago is even, you know. I think that's an
Well,
80s and 90s thing.
I'm going to bring about the topic of why I'm celebrating today, and this is a huge party. And then I got a rope Sheely, and I was looking for this very specific thing. I'm not sure, Sheila. I haven't found it. The part that you say is Arrow's favorite part of the project, but I'm celebrating today. One, the planet I was born on was prison. It was dark, and that doesn't exist for me anymore today. And I know if you're tuning in to this show, if you're finding my show today, you have made it. You have made it out of the prison. You are finding your way to New Earth and the awakening of spirit. And it's truly exciting. And it's not a celebration of who I am, because I would say, like in recovery, I look back 20, 30 years ago. I was 25 years old when I first came to the first 12-step program. And if I compare that person to the person I am today, I have a lot of gratitude. Boy, I don't act the way I used to. I don't think the way I used to. I certainly don't speak the way I used to, and I don't feel the way I used to. And I've been very grateful for many, many years about who I am. But today, the shift in my consciousness has realized it's not about who I am, it's about what I am. I am an infinite being from source itself. I am source. I am infinite, and I have infinite possibilities to come and go, to be whatever I want, to have whatever I want, to do whatever I want. And it's just such a, if you look at science, they say a hologram is a whole image of the big, whatever it is, right? You have a big picture, and then you take a little holographic portion. That little holographic portion is still a little miniature version of the whole. And that's how I feel I am. I'm this little whole miniature version of source. And I am source. We are infinite creators, infinite beings. And what a magnificent way to be. And I'm celebrating what I am today.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And then Source gave me this because I'm coming to the table. Sheila says, Sheila, I don't know if you've got the quote. I've been looking for it.
I've got it. I think this is what you're
Yes.
looking for. When
Yes.
I submitted a project, and at the heading I said, "We are the technology, we are
Yes.
the knowledge, we are the collaborators, and we are the creators."
Amazing. I totally agree. We are the technology, Sheila. That's something that, like, it's a very difficult thing to, what do you mean we are the technology? But like I had that kind of feeling or sense of, and then I think even maybe it was Ron Amitron hearing him say it, he said, he's like, oh, a certain level of consciousness or technology or whatever word you want to use there. And so he used them interchangeably, but we are the technology. Consciousness is technology. Source is the technology. It's the highest technology in existence itself because it is existence, it's creation.
Right.
Yeah.
It involves redefining a lot of what we thought we knew
Yeah.
and accepting who we really are instead of assuming I was a wallflower because somebody called me that. But that was all okay for a long time until I said, hey, wait. No, I am the technology. I'm not a wallflower.
That's
And
perfect.
I remember the first day Sheila called into a show. It was a Q show, and Bertie and I think were on that show, weren't we? I don't know if Bertie, were you on that show when Sheila called in that day?
We were just talking about it this week. Do you remember
Yeah.
when Sheila called in and said, I want to, what was it? I want to fly home.
Yeah, I was calling all the light particles in to come home. We want to go home, all of us. I want all the light particles to come and come home with us.
Yep, that's it. I know I'm on my way, but I wanted Arrow to know that I want to fly home.
Yeah. And you've been such a big help for me on the show and a big part of my growing and expressing. And it's been such a joy to have connected with you, Sheila. It's just such a, I kind of feel this show wouldn't be this show without you manning the controls for our show. It's your You share, we meet personally, usually weekly. And she's very helpful for me. You resonate with me so much. And just really, it's kind of like sometimes you're on my shoulder looking at what I'm doing when I'm doing it. So it's been a joy.
That's what wallflowers do best, is they look over the shoulder, right?
So that's a good thing then.
Speaking of wallflowers, how about the song One Headlight? I love that song. It's like one of my favorite songs of all time.
One Headlight, is it on the album Wallflowers?
I can't remember what the album is. I have to, let me.
Is that a band? What's the
Yeah,
connection,
it's
Wallflowers?
the Wallflowers is it's oh
Oh.
geez, Bob Dylan's son, I think. If don't get
Oh.
let me consult the old
Because I was thinking of Tom Petty.
Yeah, no, yeah, Jacob Dylan. So the Wallflowers, One Headlight. It's an amazing song. Like, I don't know. Bertie, you must have heard One
Yes,
Headlight.
it's a good song.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
It's like
Jacob, yeah, Jacob Dylan, The Wallflowers, yes.
Yeah, and so if you guys have never heard that song, do yourself a favor and listen to it. It's so well produced too, like as a musician and DJ and everything that I do, like I just love, like the I can hear things, like you can just see whoever mastered this song or produced it and everything and put it all together. It just hits, like all the drums and everything. But it's one of those songs, like I remember the first time I heard it on the radio as a kid in like 1992 or whenever it came out. And it's like, that's how powerful music is. It's like, it brings me back. Like, although I don't necessarily always want to be corded to the past, it's interesting to observe how that it's like, you remember exactly where you are, the time and place you hear that song for the first time, you know?
Yeah, I think it
And
came out in the late 90s, right, Rob? It was like nine, like I remember that in the
yeah, like
90s.
90,
Like
sometime in the 90s, like,
97. I just looked at it. 90, no, yeah, 97 it came out.
yeah, that's probably exactly right, because I remember the house I was living in. I remember like being in my
We're showing
room.
our age here.
Yeah.
Huh? And it was
There's
called
no such thing.
One
One
headlight.
headlight.
One headlight.
Okay.
You're gonna. It's
All right.
amazing. Like once I when whenever I make my TV series or my full length feature film, it's making it in there somehow. Like I've already got like just all the scenes planned out for it and things, and just it's just one of my favorite songs. Yeah.
Yeah, your memory, guys, is great. My memory has gotten so bad. It's actually gotten what was I saying?
It's good though to not, it's like remember to forget, as someone once said.
You guys keep leading in for my dumb jokes I brought to the table today. But I want to let the listeners know, I really this is if you there's no doubt in my mind, if you've tuned into my show today, you are finding your way home. You're already on your path, and it's just awaiting for you. And I wanted to share, I was talking this morning with my team. I have my 12 source energy within my heart. I call my team and I'm in the office, and I resonate with them all morning on show days. And Sheila and I had referenced before having a party with a million people, which is a lot, because if you've ever been in your biggest arenas, the biggest music concerts I've ever been to was 350,000. So trying to imagine a room with a million humans showing up to for a party, it's a lot. And but this one time, source showed me that there was a million light beings here. They're here now. They're watching humanity wake up, and they're blanketing us with light, and they're protecting us from any of those other dark controllers out there coming in. They've gotten rid of the prison guards. They've opened the gates, and they're blanketing us with love and light. And they've showed me a million of them. Well, so I talked to my team this morning, and when I turned my computer on today, the computer just gives me a picture. And usually it's a lot of animals. I get a lot of birds because I'm Aero, and that A-E-R-O is flight, and Birdie is my buddy and my sister, and we get a lot of birds pictures. I had a beautiful cutie little owl with the cutest little smile, and some cats, sometimes beautiful mountain scenes. Well, today I turned it on, and I knew it was my team that did it. It was a massive universal nothing but stars, and there was just, I thought, a million little dots all over the screen. And there was this little mass, kind of like, I don't know how to describe it other than like the Milky Way, where it's just, it looks like a little mass right there. And I read it, and it said, with upwards of 400 billion stars around 100,000 light years across. So it's, I was corrected. It's not just a million beings that have surrounded us and watching us and cheering us on and pulling us to home. It's 400 billion. So I just wanted to spit out numbers for us humans, since we love numbers so well. But I just kind of, I even broke a tear. I was flabbergasted. With the extensiveness of me trying to even imagine what 400 billion people, beings, all stars are beings, and there's so many other light beings here that it's just infinite, and we're here now. So it's a time to celebrate. I want you, the listener, to celebrate, because if you tuned into this show, you are on your way home. You are here now. This is the new earth, and we can create instantly. So, and thank you guys for coming to the party. You three are a huge part of my reality, and I really appreciate you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having us. And it's great to be here, and it's just fun to play and create.
Yeah.
You know, I forgot too. I have to do this on the air, Rob. I tried calling you, and I guess my unlimited talk and text might just be United States. It wouldn't call Canada, and I haven't talked to you on Zoom. Mm-hmm. And when I leave here in a month and a half, I'm going to leave South Dakota. I'm heading to Michigan to give a beautiful sister there a hug. And then I'm on my way to Pennsylvania to give my sister Birdie a hug. And you are really close. And I want to invite you out on a date to dance. Will you go dancing with me?
Yeah,
yeah, let's do a music fest. I'm going to get a passport so we can do it in Canada or the United States. I don't care. But between here and Pennsylvania, let's get a music fest and meet up in like a month and a half, 2 months.
I would be down for that. I've been DJing for like 20, and well, I say DJing, but it's not like radio DJing. It's like mixing house music and producing it and, you know, create. But I love dancing. Like dancing, I didn't even know I loved dancing until I was like 19 years old, till I went to a rave, you know, and I would always dance in my bedroom at home, but like never out in public. And then finding friends to dance with until the sun comes up, is there's just nothing like it.
Oh, yay. Thanks for not rejecting me on live air.
Well, you know what? Yeah. I love going down to Pennsylvania. I've only been there once, and I loved driving my motorcycle. Me and my brother went down there a couple summers ago for a few days to just ride in the mountains. And it was just magical there. I loved it.
All right.
It's a nice place to be. It really is. I mean, I love the beach, but we have the mountains. We have all that here. So that'll be fun. When is this happening?
between here and there. It's when I get there, when I get to Pennsylvania, we'll find a music fest. So, Bertie, of course, sounds like you might like to dance with us too.
Oh, I love to dance. I dance all the time. I dance in my kitchen while I do dishes.
All right.
Life is a
Yay.
dance, like Alan Watts said.
Yes.
I love his analogy about life being either like a piece of music or a dance, and like the ob there's no there to get to. It's not to get to a certain spot on the floor. It's every part of it. If you consider life as a dance, and that's what they've done to people and enslaved us, is to make us forget that. It's a dance, and every step of the way is good because everybody's working for 5 p.m. Everybody's working for the weekend. Everybody's can't wait for the summer. I can't wait for the holidays. I can't wait for retirement. And then you get there and you're like, well, now what? Because we forgot it's a dance. It's not a destination.
Dancing is like singing too. How many times have I asked, and I used to back in the old days, I used to have to get drunk to ask somebody to dance because I wanted to dance. I wanted to dance all the dances. And I used to wait for the boys to ask me and they wouldn't. So I'd get drunk so I could ask them. And then they go, I can't dance. I can't dance. And in college, there was a lifetime colleger. I think he was 30, right? I'm 18 in college and he was like 30, but he loved to dance and he was like 6'7" or something. And he danced and he looked funny. He really did. He was awkward and you could tell how much fun he was having.
Yeah,
He had a
that's all that matters.
blast. That's right. It's just like singing. It doesn't matter what we sound like. It doesn't matter what we look like. It's how fun we're having, how much fun, how it feels. And I want to encourage everybody just to go out and sing and dance.
Yeah.
Play. Because that's a.
Let's
Oh,
keep this
go.
party moving. We have about 10 minutes left.
Wow.
What songs can we talk about?
How about continuing the theme of the mountains in Pennsylvania, which is the beginning of, I think, the Blue Ridge Mountains? It's the song that "Take Me Home, Country Road" by.
Oh yeah,
Ooh.
that's on my playlist. Yes,
I love that song.
that's West Virginia Mountain Mama, right?
Yeah.
That's close enough though, but
Do you want me to sing it? I can try.
yeah, let's hear
Take
it.
me home, country road, to the place I belong, West Virginia. Mountain mama, take me home, country road.
Oh,
Oh.
yes. Oh, you sing beautiful. That's awesome. And what a perfect song. Take us home. I love it.
There's
I always sing that on my
also
motorcycle.
there's also a version sung by Israel, and I'm not going to attempt his last name, a Hawaiian ukulele player, and he does his version referencing places around Honolulu
Oh, cool.
where he grew up.
He's the one that does "Somewhere Over the Rainbow," right?
Yes, he does
Yeah.
that too.
Yes. Oh, that's so good too.
Ooh, yay, I'm getting chills. Yay. Listeners, follow us. We're on our way home. We're going down the country road. There's beautiful rainbows. This is New Earth. I'm so excited. This has been a fabulous part. Oh, there we go again. All right, we had to do a little party favors.
Oh, I have a since we were I forgot to mention, because we were talking about quotes, and I love quotes, and I had heard one today. I don't know who said it. Somebody just told me the quote. It might not even be attributed to anybody, but I thought it was good because it's just one of those things that made me laugh. Anyways, it's if you're at the end of your rope, tie a knot and hold on.
Yeah, I was given that advice a long time ago.
Nice. Well, let's see. Any we'll do closing. I have 10 minutes yet. Is my clock's off?
No, I said we had about a little over 10
Oh,
minutes
okay.
left, so.
Oh, okay. Perfect. And then okay, here's one for you. Why don't scientists trust atoms?
I don't know.
Because they make everything up.
Ah, I see
Oh,
what
I
you did
think I
there.
said it wrong. They make up everything. That might have been a little
It's the same.
backward.
I got it. I got it. But is there even such thing as atoms, or is it just energy? Isn't that an old, outdated model?
I don't know. All of our science is fake and all the math is fake and everything we've been told is fake. We
I
might
think
all be making it up.
For the People had an article about that being like a fake model because everything's energy. So atom implies that there's objects where there's nothing really, there's not really objects per se. Everything's, like atoms are particles, right? But are there particles or are there just energies? It's really tough. Like these are things the human mind can't really fathom, but I think that, the density of our bodies is an illusion created by our DNA restrictions, where if everything is just energy and we're growing our light, well then I don't know if there's atoms.
Well, here's a music-related quote to that, of being of the space in between all the atoms is that Ringo Starr stated that it's not the note, it's not the beat that he hit, it was the space between the beats that made the song.
Oh,
Yeah. The
nice.
rests are just as important as the notes, right?
I talk about the space between hearts. Like for my Christian sisters and brothers, the word church became this building where we congregate and we pay somebody money, and that's not the definition of church. Way back in Greek, a church was when one heart joins with another heart in unison. And that space in between, I used to refer to our sister, Q sisters, the Unstoppable Love Girls, that they created this incredible space. They created a show that was unstoppable. That space between two hearts, when two hearts come together live, it is unstoppable love. It's unbreakable. The dark can't touch you. That's part of why I feel it's so important that we come together and have union, is that space that gets created between us. So great on that.
Yeah.
Any closing? Anybody's got any closing words? Any encouraging words for people to find their passions, their great excitement, to learn how to play, to find what puts a smile on our face? What are we so excited to get out of bed and run and do? Anything?
Birdie?
Oh, you want me to go first? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to mention one other Home song, but I'm not going to sing. But that Depeche Mode song called Home, that was one that Q used to sing. Yeah, that one. I love that. That's on my Q playlist. But that's a really good one if anybody wants to look it up. So yeah, Home by Depeche Mode. I have to mention, as I said it before we got on the air, but Sheila's sounding a lot like Asha to me. I'm getting it. Like, I mean, maybe it's the harmonics, or like as soon as I heard her voice, not that I haven't heard it before, but it went straight to my heart today, Sheila. There's a feeling there, and you do sound a little bit like Asha. So I wanted to, yeah, beautiful, beautiful harmonic, Sheila.
Thank you, Birdie.
And don't be a wallflower. People need to hear that beautiful, beautiful voice of yours.
I will say that it was developed over time, that the more I went into my heart, the more I liked the sound of my voice, and the more it helped me calm down, and it helped me be more in my body. So it's really about the work for me
It's
that.
true. I've noticed a difference, Sheila. Like I've talked to you before, and it's so cool to see the growth because it's calming and peaceful. Like you're a calming and peaceful presence.
Thank you.
And
Yeah.
Rob, you can really carry a tune.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sometimes
Yeah.
it takes me a minute to like remember it or feel it, you know?
Yeah, you did really well. That was who are you being shy about singing? Gosh.
Well, because like Sheila said, it was developed, and like
Fear.
when I moved to Toronto from Northern Ontario, I had such a very Ontario like almost like Michigan type accent, like northern northwest. It's the same as here in Canada as it like it is in the northern states. And people were like, "You sound so like," well, they probably called me a hick behind my back or something like that. But I like had to consciously work on changing my accent because it was so northern Ontario. And now it's like I feel it's like, why would I want to change that? That's just who I was, you know? But I think
Yeah.
it happens over time. And like Sheila was mentioning, I used to speak like what I had to say wasn't important. So I would either rush what I was saying or like people or try to get it all in because I felt like people didn't want to hear it or I had something, you know. But to learn how to slow down is an important thing. And that doesn't mean I can't talk fast afterwards, but to slow down and it's like to know that you're valued. And I don't know if I shared this with you guys before, but sometimes in Canada, I feel like we get we're like too polite. Like, no, you go first. Where it's like, no, be you deserve to be here. You deserve and like, you know, we don't have to say excuse me for everything. We don't have to say I'm sorry for everything. And it was like even when I was crossing the road and a car stopped to like wave me through, and I kind of did like the run across. And it's like, I don't need to run across. I'm like, why did I do that? I'm like, I'm never doing that again. I'm walking. Why does somebody in a car have the right of way over me? And like, why did I feel the need to rush across the road to get out of their way? Maybe they were in my way. Like, so that's what I, you know, and so it's like people in the grocery store, they'll be like, oh, sorry, or you know, things like that. And it's like, you know, oh, I didn't mean to be in your way. And it's like, you're not in my way. It's okay. You have just as much right to be here as anybody else, you know? So it's like our voice and what we have to say is something, and our courage to say it is something that has to be developed. And it takes practice.
Yes, every being has equal value. That's we're going to bring that to the safe table on our next Sunday show, project review, a Q&A. We'll take call-ins and we don't hold judgment and we give deep listening, no matter where you're at, no matter what your reality, no matter what your take is, you have just as much equal value as everyone else. And we want to hear it. We want to hear what you have to say. We'd love to meet you. We'd love to meet you on this journey home. All right. I think we should call it BBS. That's a wrap. Love,
Thanks,
love,
everybody.
love.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye, everyone. Thanks, CBS. Thanks, listeners.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.